You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend. And joining us on The Weekend today are Gigi Shamali and Leah Wiggum. Gigi is representing the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, and Leah has been no stranger to KTEP. She's been here with us today, and she is the executive director of the Paso del Norte Institute for Healthy Living. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's start, first of all, with you, Leah, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what the Paso del Norte Institute for Healthy Living is all about. And I know that, as I mentioned, you've been here before. You have a lot of programs going on countywide. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us, just in a nutshell, what the Institute's all about.
Sure. The Institute for Healthy Living here at UTEP focuses on increasing healthy eating and active living throughout the Paso del Norte region, which includes southern New Mexico, West Texas, and Ciudad Juarez. We're funded by the Paso del Norte Health Foundation through their Healthy Eating Active Living Initiative. So we serve as a backbone organization for that initiative, providing support, including technical assistance and capacity building to their grantees through that initiative, and driving forward certain objectives through their Healthy Eating Active Living Strategic Plan as well. And the workshop that we're here talking about today came about through that work in the community.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the workshop in just a minute. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, Gigi Shamali is also with us. And Gigi is with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. If you wouldn't mind sharing what your program does.
Yes. So we are an extension of Texas A&M University. We've got offices in all counties throughout Texas. And what we do is we bring informal education to the public and to work sites to families. We teach physical activity, nutrition information. We do parenting information, inform people about chronic diseases. We just have a whole variety of things that we offer to the public.
And as far as this workshop that is going to be on the 21st, excuse me, if you wouldn't mind letting us know what people can expect. And I know that you have a lot of objectives and the agenda. And if you wouldn't mind just going down with us, and you feel free to use your cheat notes, because I am.
Sure. This event's going to be a workshop, really. It's about starting a worksite wellness program at your worksite. This will give you the how-tos on how to do it. So we'll start with how to start one, how to build your plan.
And how is that going to, because when people think about starting something at their worksite, sometimes, especially managers, they may get a little nervous because they're like, oh, we're going to have to buy everybody all these things, bring all these things. But there are things that you already have there, correct?
This workshop is really developed to help work sites of all different types and capacities, whether they already have a worksite wellness program in place or they want to start something new. This workshop will have something for everybody. So for small businesses, large businesses, not-for-profit organizations, any of those types of work sites will find value in this workshop. If someone's looking to start a new worksite wellness program, they can learn about the basics of how to get it up and running. If they already have a program in place, they're going to learn some tools to increase the impact of that program, working through the content that Texas A&M AgriLife has built in this workshop, and some additional components that the Institute for Healthy Living is going to add to this workshop. We're going to be offering to work locally with these work sites to help provide content through their for their work site wellness programs, to help them with evaluation of that program so that they can really understand, are they having an impact on the health of their employees? And it's really designed to provide a range of capacity building for all different types of work sites, no matter what stage they're at in the process.
Leah, you and I have discussed this before. I think when you first started here, you moved to El Paso, the fact that a lot of people have some great goals, and especially after the first of the year, they want to lose weight, they want to start eating better. And you know, to give them encouragement, most of them do well. But then all of a sudden they sort of fizzle out because they get tired or other things, you know, life happens. And through these work sites that you're all talking about and these wellness programs, you not only get people to do this, but you encourage them because I guess when there are numbers involved, there are more people willing to do it.
Right. We know in the world of wellness that for people to maintain healthy habits and keep those healthy habits over a long period of time, which is really necessary if you're going to see the health benefits, they need to be surrounded by a supportive environment. So worksite wellness programs are an ideal way to ensure that the place where people come every day and spend, you know, hours upon hours really helps to support their wellness goals. So these worksite wellness programs can target supportive environments, content such as educational programming to help people learn more about nutrition, physical activity, how to quit smoking, for example, but also just creating an environment that makes it easier for people to make healthy choices all day long, every day when they're at work, and hopefully then take some of those lessons home with them as well so they can impact their families. We know that work sites, this has become a very popular approach nationwide because companies and other organizations are learning that they can save a lot of money on health insurance because this is a preventive approach where they're helping people be healthy on the prevention side instead of waiting until they get sick and then paying the high cost of healthcare coverage, and that these worksite wellness programs can impact the whole family. So if a company covers health insurance for the family, they're seeing returns not just from their employees, but from the family of their employees. And they're really saving a lot of money. They're helping their employees be healthier. And when their employees are healthier, they're also more productive. So not only does it save on the cost end from health insurance, but it helps cut down on days missed at work due to illness. It helps employees be more productive at work. And it just spreads to have a very large impact when workplaces have a strong worksite wellness program.
I'm not sure if you have any statistics or numbers to show us, but you hit the nail on the head there when you said, you know, if people are healthy, they'll go to work, they'll miss less, they won't be as sick as often. Because a lot of times, sometimes the ball starts rolling at home where a child gets sick and then mom or dad has to stay home to take care of that child. And then they end up getting sick and it just kind of snowballs.
That's right. This has really become a billion-dollar industry nationally because, just like you said, it has a strong ripple effect. If anyone in the family is sick, it impacts the rest of the family, which comes back to the workplace, sick people coming to work infect other people at work as well. So creating that culture of health and well-being at work can have long-term impacts that really affect the bottom line of the company, but of course affect the health of the individuals. And hopefully most work sites care about both of those. It's important also to keep in mind that, like with many things in the world of health, there is evidence behind the best ways to go about these work site wellness programs. And so we want to make sure that we're offering partners in our region the opportunity to learn about the best evidence-based approaches for worksite wellness, because there have been some examples nationally where companies come in thinking that they're doing the best for cutting costs with regards to health and disease within their employees, but they may set that program up in such a way that can actually have a worse outcome rather than be beneficial. So, for example, you don't want to set up a workplace wellness program that penalizes people based on their weight, because we know there's hundreds of factors that are involved in determining someone's weight. So having an outcome like a person's weight or body mass index, which is weight for height, dictate penalties that they might have to pay back to the company is not shown to be an effective approach. It actually has the reverse effect of causing a lot of problems if that's built into a worksite wellness program. So we want to make sure that those people in our community, in our region, who are aiming to improve the health of their employees know how to do it in a way that's based on the best evidence available so they can have the most positive, high-impact program possible.
We are visiting with Leah Wiggum and Gigi Shamali talking about worksite wellness programs. And Gigi, before the interview started, you and I were discussing a little bit nutrition and the fact that people who tend to go to 7-Elevens, Circle K, or wherever, they'll buy a bag of chips, they'll buy a drink, and they'll buy perhaps a candy bar or two, not realizing that what they've bought is there are actual servings for several people, and you're not supposed to eat that whole bag of chips by yourself and drink that soda yourself. There are several servings there.
Yes, you're right. And we do teach people about reading nutrition labels and figuring out serving sizes and what you can and can't have. Yes. What part of this will bring is promoting healthy habits in the workplace also, so that maybe they can have a better environment to where they're not having to reach for that quick, fast, and easy food.
And we have a situation here where we have a lot of diabetic people. And because of that, some people are eating too many carbs, not enough carbs. You see the high sugars, the low sugars, and it can be frustrating for people who are not properly taking care of themselves because they're eating the wrong foods, and all of a sudden they feel lethargic, or they'll feel good and then they feel bad. And that can have an impact on a workplace, I'm sure.
Absolutely. One of our partners in the Worksite Wellness Coalition that has formed in this region is a dietitian with University Medical Center. His name is Phil Arnold. He will be a panelist at this workshop, and he's going to describe some work that he undertook at UMC to change over their vending machines. And so here's an example of how a fairly simple concept of just changing the content in the vending machine can be used to help ensure that the choices people have around them when they're at work are healthier choices. And it's not about taking people's choices away. It's about ensuring that the choices that are there include healthy options. So oftentimes people think when they hear someone like Gigi or myself, who have backgrounds in nutrition, talk, that we're all about, only making available the healthiest foods and removing all the foods that they might consider fun or enjoyable that aren't in the top categories of healthy foods. And that's not really what worksite wellness and other aspects of community wellness are about. We're not trying to take choices away. We're trying to ensure that everywhere everyone goes, including at work, they have choices that include healthy choices. Some people need higher energy, high calorie snacks, but other people really need healthy choices that keep them within their calorie needs for the day or keep their sugar levels down if they're dealing with diabetes, for example. So the work that Phil has done at UMC, for example, did not replace all the vending machine food. It just ensured that of the choices in the vending machine, more of them were healthier choices. And he was able to show through collecting data throughout the process that this did not impact the bottom line of the proceeds made off of the vending machines, and that people still really appreciated the options that they had at those vending machines. And that's just one small example of the types of programs or projects that can be implemented through worksites to give people more choices.
As far as the worksite wellness program that you all are going to be addressing next week in March, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about the objectives and the agenda, and is this specifically for just people with Texas A&M or El Paso del Norte Health Foundation?
So the objectives are, we're going to teach people how to identify the skills and resources needed to plan, implement, and evaluate their wellness plan for their workplace. We're going to explore with AgriLife Extension our health programs. We have health programs and resources that we can bring to the workplace. For instance, we have a couple of diabetes programs where we teach people how to build that healthy plate. It's not all or nothing. You don't have to stay away from carbs. You don't really have to stay away from sugars. You just have to learn how to balance your plate at all your meal times. Another objective will be to establish connections with community members. We want to be able to have them share ideas, things that have worked in their at their workplaces, and kind of build relationships and coalitions to be able to make this a community thing. So we extend El Paso County, and also through Las Cruces, we're inviting people from up there to come down. This is for the whole region. It's not just for.
Mm-hmm. And then the Institute for Healthy Living will work with participants at the workshop to help them understand how we can partner to help provide additional content, perhaps develop new content specific to their workplace, but also how we can help them evaluate the impact of their content. So the work we do in the region funded through the Paso del Norte Health Foundation, helps us to assess the impact of programs targeting healthy eating and active living. And we have those tools in place, and we can apply them in work sites. So we can come in with our veggie meter, for example, and help employees know if they've successfully increased the intake of fruit and vegetable intake in their diet. We know that fruits and vegetables, high intake of fruits and vegetables, are associated with decreased risk of all kinds of chronic diseases as well as all-cause mortality. So we want to help people increase their fruit and vegetable intake. We've got programs we've developed. Texas AgriLife, Texas A&M AgriLife has programs that they've developed as well. And these can help employees understand how to implement fruits and vegetables into their diet. And then with the IHL coming in with the veggie meter, we can actually help employees measure their score at the beginning of their efforts and see what their progress is over time. Because oftentimes, if people have a goal to reach for, they're going to be much more successful at accomplishing that goal. We can also, we have tools available that help assess physical activity level, fitness level, body composition, which gives us the distinction between the muscle mass and the fat mass within the body. So if someone starts a weight loss effort, but they're exercising at the same time, their weight may not change because their fat may go down and their muscle may go up. And with our device, we can help them really understand if they're improving the overall body composition rather than just changing their weight. So we will be in a position to partner with organizations to help them track that success, that progress over time, and help them understand how can they look at their financial outcomes as a result of these programs. Because oftentimes, especially in the for-profit world, that's what's going to drive the decision-making, because these companies have to be able to make a profit. But if they can see the data that support that by providing these worksite wellness opportunities, whatever that program may look like, it's helping to save them money in the long run and help their employees be more productive, then those supervisors or the decision makers at the company will hopefully decide to continue with those kinds of programs.
Leah, I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes when people go into stores, and especially the sexy words now are organic, low cholesterol, low fat, sugar free, all those things. And sometimes people will read those, Gigi, and they'll misinterpret it. They'll say, oh, well, it's sugar free. That means it's okay. But I would imagine that if they take out something, they'll have to put something else in.
You're absolutely correct. They do. They'll replace it with something else that's probably not healthy for you. And it's about being able to understand what those sexy words are and be able to read your labels. And we have classes that can teach people this.
And regardless of how much a person eats, watches what they eat, exercise, everybody has a different body type, right? So not everybody's going to look like 110 pound 5'10 person, or nobody's going to look like 185 pound. Everybody's going to look different, even though they may be in shape, they may be in good physical shape, but their body's not going to look the same.
And we know people can be healthy at all different sizes. So yes, a person at a higher weight will be healthier if they lose some of that weight. Sometimes as little as 5% of their body weight can have huge impacts on metabolic outcomes like their blood lipid levels, their blood pressure levels, their blood sugar control. But we also know that regardless of the size of a person, if they can be physically active and consume a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains and lean protein, all of those foods are also going to nourish their body and support their immune system in fighting off infection and chronic disease and so forth. So it's always beneficial to have a healthy diet and an active lifestyle, regardless of what size your body is.
And what kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I would imagine what kind of foods are available to people across the board, and how much does culture and ethnicity play with that? Because sometimes we'll think about, people in Mexico, they eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. They eat, beans, corn. But again, it depends on, okay, what do they have available to them, and how can they make that a healthy diet?
You're absolutely right. And it's also about how to cook your foods, you know, cooking better, maybe not using your lard, but using a healthier oil, changing things up and learning how to make the better choices, lots of fruits and vegetables, and then being able to cook it better, baking and grilling and not using so many fats.
So it's not necessarily you can't have tacos, you can't have flautas. You can have it, but you're going to prepare them a different way.
Correct. Prepare them a different way and also have things in moderation. It's about moderation. You're not going to eat tacos every single day. You know, it's balance.
And we're working on some programming at the Institute for Healthy Living that emphasizes how people can enjoy their food, enjoy cooking, enjoy coming together with family and friends. Food is such an important part of our culture that we don't want to take the enjoyment out of it. But how can you do that and keep the portion sizes appropriate for your body weight and ensure that you can still enjoy those favorite foods, whatever they might be, whatever's the favorite tradition in your family? Enjoy those, but enjoy them in a smaller portion and take time to sit and savor the flavors, the aromas, and then the culture around bringing family and friends together at mealtimes.
And I would think that, some of these fads that we have now where, you know, coffee bars, juice bars, smoothies, all that stuff tends to bring in the young people and they're eating stuff that's good for them.
That's right. We have a lot of efforts here on campus at UTEP, for example, to offer healthier options through the food venues on campus, to provide information about the calories that are in those foods so people can make choices that are right for them as an individual. And then UTEP has a workplace wellness program, and they will be represented at this workshop as well, talking about some of the programming that they've been offering to their employees. Because it's not just about nutrition, it's not just about physical activity, it's about things like use of tobacco and smoking cessation. That's such an important part of health. But it's also about managing stress and ensuring that you get adequate sleep every night, ensuring that you're surrounded by a supportive network so that when life does get stressful, you've got people you can go to get that support so that you're ensuring a healthy mental side to your overall health. Because wellness is really the big picture of wellness and includes all of these different aspects. And good workplace wellness programs should consider all those aspects of wellness.
These things that we've been talking about, and I'm looking here at the objective and the agendas, is this going to be open to anybody, or do you have to work at one of these places?
Anybody is welcome to attend the workshop. They can find the registration information on our website at pdnihl.org, and they can sign up for the workshop. There's a $25 registration fee, and scholarships are available. So if they go to the website, they'll see the information. If they need a scholarship, they can reach out to contact us for a scholarship. But that way they can, anyone's welcome to get registered. I've got some students, for example, who are interested in a career in workplace wellness. So they want to attend the workshop to understand more about how they could go into this field as a career. So that's another example of individuals who might be interested in participating.
Tell us a little bit about this lady who's going to be a speaker. Gigi?
Oh, yes. She's Dr. Nanford Purcell. She's a professor at Texas A&M University, and she has been a health extension specialist with more than 25 years of experience building worksite wellness programs. This is her passion, working in the worksite. She's put together this blueprint. It's a how-to. She's got a whole manual that comes with this. So people who are going to be attending this workshop will get a manual on how to implement this in their workplace.
And this is something that they can carry around with them and,
yes,
and
definitely
help with anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, we're talking about workplace, but I would imagine, you know, just like when kids come home from school, they say, look what we learned today at school, Mom, so they want to implement that at home. So somebody at the workplace can perhaps implement this at home as well?
Absolutely. They'll learn all sorts of great strategies that they can use both in the workplace and at home. One program, for example, that our institute offers is called Healthy Celebrations, and organizations can schedule with us to come and deliver this program at work sites or other organizations. But we find that a lot of people when they're in the workshop, the Healthy Celebration workshop, they start envisioning how they can apply this to celebrations at their home, whether that be a birthday party, an anniversary party, Super Bowl Sunday. But it's a workshop to really help people think differently about how they celebrate, because many of us have so many extended family in the region. We're at parties almost every weekend. And so we need to rethink that parties need to help support health. So they can still be fun. They can include our favorite foods. But how can you integrate physical activity? And what can you use based on, we teach people some tricks from the research world in nutrition about small, subtle changes they can make in the environment of the party that nudge people towards healthier choices and consuming fewer calories overall. So it's a fun, interactive workshop. And that's one thing we can offer through a workplace wellness program. But we find that those individuals often take those lessons learned home to their families as well.
And this is just the beginning. You all have a passel of things set up for coming years, right?
We do.
Months.
Another tool that we are going to offer to partners through the Worksite Wellness Workshop is a new physical activity campaign that we will be rolling out in April called Move a Million Miles. And this campaign is designed to collectively get the region to move a million miles together. And we have an app that we've built that people will be able to download for free. And they can join this campaign and either participate just as an individual or form a team. And teams are welcome to compete against each other to see who can get the most collective miles during the course of the campaign. And this will be a great tool for work sites to use because they can encourage their employees to form teams, maybe compete against each other within a work site, and help to jumpstart people thinking about moving more. And it's really about any kind of motion. People enter their own mileage through the app using whatever kind of device they want to use to measure their activity during the day. So collectively, we want to get enough people throughout the region participating so that we can say, as a region, we've moved a million miles. But we're hoping to make it a fun activity to enjoy some collaborative efforts, team building, because oftentimes, as I mentioned before, when you feel that support network around you, that's a much better way to stick with your health-related goals, knowing that there's other people there that you're accountable to.
And look at what you all did last semester with just a bite of an apple. All of a sudden, you got everybody wanting to bite that apple.
That's right, yeah. Yes. And Texas A&M AgriLife was part of that effort as well. That was an effort to raise awareness about the importance of healthy eating and supporting locally grown produce as well.
Gigi, we didn't mention this at the beginning, but if you wouldn't mind giving us either a Facebook page or a web page that people can go on Texas A&M AgriLife to find out more about what you've been talking about.
They can go to worksitewellness.tamu.edu to find more information about the Worksite Wellness Workshop that's coming up. They can also join us at tamu.edu.
And that is the same one? No, you gave a longer one, I think.
Our Institute's website PDN. Is pdnihl.org. It's just the first initial of each word in our name, Paso del Norte Institute for Healthy Living.
And do you all have a Facebook page?
We also have a Facebook page, and you can find us there at pdnihl as well, and Twitter.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. Is there anything that perhaps we did not talk about that we can talk about as we wrap up here?
We just really encourage people who want to learn more about how to have a healthy workplace to consider joining us for this workshop.
Well, thank you. We've been visiting with Gigi Shamali. She is with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension and also Leah Wiggum with the Paso del Norte Institute for Healthy Living. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTUP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sines.